540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Tim McGuire. The Biden administration plans to ask the Supreme Court to reinstate the president's student debt cancellation plan. Here's the AP's Norman Hall.
The Justice Department is fighting to keep Biden's plan alive after it was halted by two federal courts in recent weeks. It has asked a federal appeals court in New Orleans to suspend a decision striking down Biden's plan. And in the same filing, it announced it intends to ask the Supreme Court to overturn a St. Louis appeals court that halted the plan. The filing warns that Americans will face financial strain if the plan remains stalled in court when loan payments are scheduled to restart in January. Almost 26 million people already have applied for the relief, with 16 million approved. Norman Hall, Washington.
Her lawyer says WNBA star Brittany Griner is serving her 9-year sentence for drug possession at a penal colony in Russia. A Customs and Border Protection agent and a suspected smuggler have been killed in a shootout off the Puerto Rican coast.
A unit was on routine patrol when the shots were fired in an area considered a major drug smuggling corridor for cocaine coming out of South America. At a Capitol Hill hearing, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas spoke about the shooting.
These are brave members of our air and marine operations within U.S. Customs and Border Protection. So the difficulty of this job cannot be compared to the difficulty that our frontline personnel face every day, and their bravery and selfless service should be recognized.
The FBI is leading the investigation into the shooting. Air and Marine Operations is one of the smaller units of Customs and Border Protection. Ed Donahue, Washington.
South Korea's military says the latest missile launched by North Korea was likely an intercontinental ballistic missile fired toward the waters off the eastern shore of the Korean Peninsula. A previous ICBM firing earlier this month is said by experts to have failed to fly its intended path. This is AP News. Western.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you'll see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. When they discover the forest, their imagination is inspired by the smell of pine, the crunch of leaves beneath their feet, the sound of birds calling out for attention. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating forest world. You are the hero in this book. This is a memory being made. This is what they will laugh about years from now. These are the roots, grounding and nourishing them.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Then look through your children's eyes and discover the magic all around you. That's discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. It's life in prison for Daryl Brooks Jr. with no chance of ever getting out. The judge in the Waukesha Christmas Parade trial sentenced Brooks to six life sentences without parole for killing six people last November. The judge also sentenced Brooks to the maximum 762 years for 61 counts of recklessly endangering safety. Wisconsin state health officials are urging people to protect themselves against RSV and the flu this holiday season. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services says stay home if you're sick, especially if your loved ones are at most at risk. Wisconsin hospitals have seen a spike in cases ahead of schedule this season. In sports, the Bucks beat Cleveland last night, 113-98. The Packers host Tennessee tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
At TheRickSmithShow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, the big news today, the changing of the guard as Speaker Nancy Pelosi stepping aside. Leadership change in the Democratic Party. And look, I'm looking at, you know, who the Republican's going to be, who's going to be Speaker of the House. I think the signals are saying, Kevin McCarthy, you're probably not going to be it. I was hoping for it. I really was hoping for Kevin McCarthy to get his wish, to get his dream, and then all the headaches and the troubles and the, well, what is going to come with it. But here to share some thoughts on the day's news and also, well, what we can expect out of the Republican-led House. I've asked our good friend Joe Walsh to come talk with us. Joe's a former Illinois congressman, 2022 Republican presidential candidate and host of the White Flag with Joe Walsh podcast. He's also a frequent contributor over at Courier Newsroom, our friends there, CourierNewsroom.com, their website. Joe, thanks for taking time for us.
Brother Smith, I love you, man.
So, thoughts about four people sticking around for Pelosi's announcement today? Four Republicans.
What little people they are! I think about Kevin McCarthy. What a crappy thing to do! But I know McCarthy well, Rick. He's just a hollow little man, and so it doesn't surprise me.
So, the chances of McCarthy becoming Speaker? You putting any money on this? Any odds?
Oh, I think it's automatic. Yeah.
You think he's going to get what he wants?
Oh, yeah. He sold his soul to Donald Trump a while ago to get what he wanted. Trump's behind him. He has sold his soul to Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan and all the rest. He's cut a deal with them. So he will become Speaker. I don't think it will be much of a contest. But you and I know once McCarthy becomes Speaker, the real Speaker is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. Oh, no. And this is where I keep wishing for him. I want McCarthy to get it because I want him to get everything I know he's going to get. And as the question I asked the other day, how long does he remain Speaker and under which terms does he end up out of being Speaker? Does he get voted out or does he end up hanging himself out of it?
What I know about him, Rick, is, again, he's got no core. He has no policy chops or philosophical being to him. All he's wanted to do since I was there was to be in leadership. So I think he'll be fine because I think he's going to give the crazy extremists in his caucus everything they want. And look, they've come out today and said what they want. They want to investigate the January 6th committee. They want to investigate Hunter Biden every day. So that's the deal that's been cut, and McCarthy has to live with it.
No, and this is where, but as a leader, you go, I got to think about it, holding on to this gavel. If he allows them to do all this, doesn't that eventually cost him the gavel down the road when we see exactly who the Republicans are?
It will cost Republicans the House in 2 years. The 2 years we're looking at, Rick, of kind of like a revenge tour, investigate, 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 impeach, impeach, impeach. That's only going to piss off the American people. Look, losing the House to the Republicans is the best thing to happen to Democrats for 24.
I agree.
You know that, and I know that. It's the best thing to happen to Joe Biden if he wants to run, because he can just sit there and respond to all this craziness every day.
And in the fashion that they lost. Look, had it been a landslide, a sweep, had they lost 40, 50 seats as the red wave was supposed to happen, then it would have been a different story. But this close of a margin, this tight, this is the worst possible scenario for Republicans, because they get to be as crazy as they want to be without the mandate to be as crazy as they are.
And let's be clear, Rick. Kevin McCarthy is no Nancy Pelosi. You know, Nancy Pelosi led with a very slim majority, and she kept her caucus in line. She kept them generally all on the same page. She had a base, a left flank that she had to deal with, but it ain't nothing like McCarthy's right flank, because these people on McCarthy's right, they want to burn the whole place down. So McCarthy's got to live with that.
Yeah, no, see, I got to tell you, and I shouldn't say this out loud, but I'm going to anyway, because I know some of my left friends are going to be very angry with me. But secretly, I was hoping Lauren Boebert would win. I was kind of pulling for her. I mean, if you're going to lose the House, yeah, I want her there. I want gun fetish Barbie right there, because I think she's good to bring the crazy.
Look, I agree. If you believe our democracy is under threat and my former political party is the threat, then you've got to take a long-term view here. And you want Kevin McCarthy to be speaker, and you want Marjorie Taylor Greene to grab him by the balls every day and tell him what to do. You want that, because that you're looking toward 24 and you're looking toward beyond. We got to play the long game here.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. So here's my problem, though. And this is where, again, I keep coming back to what I do know is, while this shenanigans goes on, and I'm going to buy popcorn stock tomorrow, because, you know, evidently that's going to happen. We're not going to do anything to make people's lives better. We're not going to be moving anything to address real needs and real problems. And look, we could debate policy all day long. And the sad thing, Joe, is, you know, we're going to sit here and we're going to talk and we're going to agree on everything. And I know policy-wise, you and I have major, major disagreements. We're not going to solve those problems. You know, look, all I get from people is, you know, crime is out of control. The border's out of control. You know, go down the list. Gas prices, you know, inflation, all this, none of that stuff's being addressed, because we're going to be figuring out what size underwear Hunter Biden wears. We're going to be figuring out what Nancy Pelosi had for lunch yesterday, and not dealing with real actual problems. That's where my problem is.
Yeah, but you know what? You, I, and everybody listening to us right now, they got to suck it up. Look, this is the time we're in. And even if the Republicans weren't crazy, batshit crazy, pardon me, Biden's gotten everything he's going to get in these first 2 years. It's not like there was any major legislation that Biden and the Democrats were going to be able to advance in these next 2 years. In another 3 to 4 to 5 months, we're going to be in a presidential campaign. You know, like I know, a president gets 95% of what he gets done in the first 2 years. So it was always going to be divided. The difference here, though, and you're right, is it won't be a divide on policy. This will be the Republicans simply trying to investigate every single Democrat they can investigate.
No, it's going to be, well, if nothing else, for you and me, it's going to be entertaining. I mean, there's going to be something to watch. It's going to make our jobs so much easier, because there's going to be there's going to be clear divide stuff for the people saying, you know, both political parties are the same. They're not.
No, they're not. And look, I would say to your face, because you and I do disagree on policy, and you're a good, lovable lefty. I think the left is wrong on most things, but I think the right is like anti-democracy. They are like an enemy to our democracy right now. This is the time we live in. It's it's a unique time where Rick Smith and Joe Walsh lock arms. We're on the same side, brother, defending against my former party.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Joe Walsh, former Illinois congressman, 2022 presidential candidate, host of White Flag with Joe Walsh, the podcast. Make sure you check that out. Also a frequent contributor with our friends over at Courier Newsroom. Check out their website, couriernewsroom.com. We'll get links out on social media. You can see the incredible work that he does there as well. And like he says, I don't know that I'm going to take the lovable lefty thing. I don't know. I'm not that lovable.
Yeah, you're not lovable.
I'm not lovable.
You're a lefty, but you're not lovable.
You look at my email. No, there's no lovable there. But, the thing of the matter is you're right. There are things that we should be able to agree on. And that's where I want us to focus, going forward. I just don't know that we can until, this whole democracy thing, whether what happens at the ballot box is respected or not. And fortunately, this time around, I think we've dodged a bullet that, at least in my state of Pennsylvania, the vote was overwhelming in turning back someone like Doc Mastriano. And in other places where you got Kerry Lake, who's like, I'm not conceding. I'm hoping the voters go, we're tired of this and shun them even in an even greater numbers.
I'm not ready yet, Rick, to say that election denialism is dead. I think
no.
It's still alive and well in my former party. Again, as we sit here now, 70, 80, 85% of Republican voters do not believe Joe Biden really won. That's a fact right now. So don't tell me election denialism is dead. Donald Trump announced he's running for president a couple nights ago. He's the chief election denier, and he's the odds-on favorite still to be the Republican nominee.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, because it kind of went with a thud. I look at the New York Post, Trumpty Dumpty, not really the most glowing headline. The Red State had the Trump shocked the world by putting us to sleep. Like the red wave that turned into the red wine, this really wasn't the splash I think he was expecting.
No, and when he teased it before the midterms, he, like all of us, almost everybody, figured it was going to be a big Republican night. Most people did. And then it wasn't. He still had to go through with this announcement, though, because if he didn't, he would have looked weak. And Trump hates to look weak. And I know the speech was low energy and boring, but his advisors told him, and he listened, don't talk about 2020, sound presidential, focus on what you did, what Biden's doing, and what you will do. He did that. He can't deliver a speech. But none of that matters, Rick. It doesn't matter what Rupert Murdoch or the New York Post says. It doesn't matter what Fox News says. It doesn't matter what Republican donors or bigwigs say. They've never liked Trump. The bottom line is Republican voters. And as long as Trump has them, and if he can keep them, all these other people will line up.
Do you see that happening? I mean, how do you see this playing out? Because there's part of me that's starting to see some cracks, because some of my Trump supporter friends they've put away the hat. They had the hat. They bought it. They bought the T-shirt. They're not wearing it anymore. Maybe talking about some other people. For me, the entertainment is going to be when the Trump trolls kind of turn on him. I'm curious what you're looking at.
Yes, I've seen cracks. I talk to Trump supporters every day, and I've seen cracks. I would remind you that I saw cracks after January 6th from Trump supporters for about a week or two or three. And then eventually they all came back solid. There are cracks here. I don't know if it's permanent. And even if it is permanent, Rick, he still has a hold on 30 to 35% of the base. They're not just supporters, they're cult followers, and they will die for him. He's got that. The other 30 to 35% that's MAGA, that generally supports him, they'll support him if it looks like he can win. So he's still got a base that nobody else has.
Yeah. You liking the MAGA thing? Are you on board with MAGA?
What's my, oh God. I got to confess, I don't even pay attention. I don't pay attention to what he says.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm going, I think you overreached on this marketing ploy. Is this the next level of merchandising? Because look, I look at Trump as it's all about the grift. It's all about how much they can get from people. The next merchandising scheme, and I'm looking at, you know, MAGA was a great marketing scheme. It really was. They bought the hat, they got the flags, they got all kinds of stuff. They got working people reaching into their pocket, throwing out their hard-earned money. And I don't think they're going to buy MAGAGA. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't know, but you know, here's the other thing, Rick. If not Trump, who?
Yeah.
I mean, if Trump stays in and he runs hard to be president, to be the nominee, who's going to challenge him? Mike Pence is a dead man walking. He has no prayer.
Nope.
If not Trump, it has to be a really the same kind of guy, a really Trumpy, cruel, authoritarian guy. Now, the only one people talk about is DeSantis.
Yeah.
I know DeSantis. He's no Trump in that he has zero charisma. And even though a lot of people say DeSantis, Republicans say DeSantis, nationwide, he's not super well known. And most of these Republicans nationwide who say DeSantis, they're really Trump supporters who think maybe this guy can win. I'm not convinced that once they see and hear from him, that he's going to knock him over.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But all along, I hope you'll be here to share some thoughts with us and give us some good analysis. I hope you'll have a good holiday, a good Thanksgiving, you and your family, and I appreciate you sharing a little time with us and sharing your thoughts.
Love you, Rick Smith. Thank you, brother.
As always, good stuff. Our good friend Joe Walsh. Check out his White Flag with Joe Walsh podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcasts, you will find ours. Going to take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people on the talk. If you're a fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in 2 segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor History has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible 2-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I'll tell you, I like Joe Walsh, even though we disagree on policy, well, just about everything. And while he was in Congress, he was my chew toy. He was somebody that did not... I don't think I had one nice word to say about him, but he's somebody who, you know, in talking about, you know, fighting for democracy and being on the right side of the issue... He is there. Let's go to the phones. Got Johnny on line one. Johnny, how are we doing today? Thanks for waiting.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing well. A bit of a slow day at work today, but other than that, pretty good. I just wanted to come in and ask a question because I was looking at, you know, the right-wing response to the election. And, you know, we all kind of assumed if it didn't turn out good for the right wing, they were going to be mad, you know, because of course they are. But I think, like what you were talking about, a lot of people on the right were expecting this sort of red wave to come in, and they were just going to sweep house, make all this progress, and when that didn't happen, I think we've seen kind of how people have reacted to that. And I kind of want to just hear what you have to say about the reactions you've seen so far from people.
I think the reaction on the right has been silence for most of the people that I know. The people that I know they're kind of shocked. They bought that there was going to be this red wave. They watched the F channel tell them that it was coming. They bought that this tidal wave was going to wipe out the libs. It was going to make people like me cry. And on the left, people were, you know, they were hoping that the Roe-vember was going to happen, and you know they're happy it didn't. Now look, did it solve anything? No, we're still a divided government. We're not going to accomplish anything for the next 2 years other than seeing that the Republicans are going to do crazy stuff. This is where the organizing has to come, and we have to figure out how to talk to each other and figure out how to get back between the curbs, so to speak.
Well, I guess the reaction, it kind of, there's like two reactions you're really going to get from people. One is, like you said, they're like stunned silent. They can't really understand what's going on. They're shocked. And then I've also seen quite a lot of people that are absolutely outraged. They're freaking out, screaming. And I just think to myself, like, you know, when I come home from a long day of work, I don't have the energy to go out and just scream like these people do.
Yeah.
They get so angry. Like, think about it. Like, it really makes you think, what do these people do that they have this much energy to just come out here and just scream all day long? Like, are they unemployed or what's going on here?
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Johnny. I appreciate the call, buddy. You're absolutely right. By all means, please call back again. But, you know, look, the reality is, we've got to be talking to each other. We've got to be moving in a direction that unites us. And you're right. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of energy being expelled. And we could do things in a more positive direction, I think. And good on you, Johnny. Thanks for the call. But again, you know, I go back to, you know, talking with Joe Walsh. Joe has been a guy that, like I said, we don't agree on just about anything. And on this issue, On this issue, we have the ability to come together. And this is where, again, I think, you know, even if your idea is to go and into a direction that isn't productive, the things that we can agree on is where we should be starting. The things that we can agree on that, for instance, you know, wasting all this energy on being, you know, just outraged all the time. Maybe put some of that energy into how do we make our community better? How do we make our little place better? Maybe, you know, use that energy in a way that, you know, I say it all the time. You want to change the world? Change your little piece of it. For me, that's the part that's I'm hoping for. But again, Johnny, appreciate the call. Love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I do answer all emails personally. I got to get this story in real quick before we get to Austin Linfante. South Dakota. Love South Dakota. State House race there. This is one of those hysterical kind of things. Evidently, a guy named Marty May, 37, he was arrested in Box Elder, South Dakota, about 4 a.m. on Sunday morning, charged with second-degree rape, according to the court filings. He's accused of forced coercion and threats of immediate and great bodily injury against a victim. The day after he lost the election for state house in South Dakota, he lost to his mother. Not only did he lose to his mother, he lost. He was fourth in a four-person race. But he lost to his mother. Now, again, this is one of those things. Now, you know, you go, is one the other? No, but I do find it interesting that the victim, the judge said the officers found the victim hiding behind a bar. She alleged that May raped her, and they arrested her. They arrested him, and good. You know, this is what we do with criminals. But I found it interesting. Lost to his mother, and I wonder. I gotta wonder. This is where my mind went when I read this story. Gotta wonder if he was in her basement. Wonder if he was in mom's basement. I know it's not funny, is it? Oh, yeah, of course. Mom's a Republican state legislator. I think just about everybody in South Dakota, anyway. Love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, be sure to send me an email at rick@thericksmithshow.com. Make sure you get the podcast.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Hi, it's Don Brown, host of This Week in Waukesha, inviting you to catch our coverage of this year's 2022 Waukesha Christmas Parade, Sunday, December 4th. The coverage starts at 3, the parade starts at 4. We'll be live in front of the Walk Radio Studios talking to the marchers, the participants, the fans, and all the people that make this parade in this community a very special place. Waukesha Christmas Parade, covered here on Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, and our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Republican State Assembly members voted to bar Representative Janelle Branchon from their closed-door caucus meetings, citing a loss of trust. The letter, first obtained by WISP Politics, was sent to Branchon Friday, letting her know the vote was taken because of continual issues. No details were given on what those issues are. Branchon leads the Assembly Elections Committee and campaigned against Speaker Robin Voss during the midterms and has promoted conspiracy theories about the 2020 election and Wisconsin's election system. In a statement, Branchon called her colleague's actions petty and said she supported Robin Voss's opponent because she doesn't believe Voss can unify the Republican Party. Her expulsion from GOP caucus meetings bars her from discussions on potential legislation or political strategies. Voss has also said it's unlikely Branchon will remain as chair of the Assembly's Election Committee. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Constitutional requirement. This is Jim Hightower saying, for more information, go to ballotpedia.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as I said at the beginning, the reality is buy popcorn stock because going to be a wild ride the next 2 years. I mean, Congress is going to be crazy. You've always got Ohio to look at and the insanity that we're going to see there over the next 2 years. And, well, over the next couple of months. What am I talking about? Years. Wow, they are not disappointing in my former state of Ohio. And here to share some thoughts on, well, the craziness going on there. I've asked our good friend Austin Linfante to come talk with us. Austin is the multimedia editor and reporter over at Heartland Signal, our radio partner over at WCPT AM 820 in Chicago. Austin, thanks for taking time for us.
No problem. Yeah, Ohio, as soon as the election ended, it seems like a bunch of people there just got big heads and it's like, you know what, we're just going to go full crazy.
No, I mean, that's what happens when you have absolute power. I mean, they have super duper majorities where even the governor, this is the weird thing. You've got the governor who now is powerless. He's the most popular governor probably ever in the state of Ohio. I mean, he massive landslide. He's irrelevant. Nothing he can do is going to matter because, well, they've got a super majority override anything he wants or says.
Yeah, and just going from how they treated during the pandemic, which is so weird to see how he was treated back then, where people hated the thought of any sort of mandate, to right now where he absolutely crushes over Nan Whaley. But regardless, even if he whatever he wants to do, they have a supermajority everywhere now. So he's more or less a figurehead.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy. Now you've been out of Ohio for a while. We're both Ohio guys, grew up there. You've been out of there for a while. I moved out in 93. When I moved out of Ohio in 93, it was a sane state. It was a good, solid, blue, working class state. Somehow lost its mind.
Yeah, I only moved out last year, and so I was able to see it go from like this sort of purple state to with a bunch of a bunch of working class sensibilities, and then really just when Trump came in, like there's no other way to put it. They very much took that to heart and
so do you think
ran with it.
Do you think is one of the narratives that I've been throwing out on this? Because look, it's been a while since I've lived there, but the people that I know, you know, the conversations that I've been having is it's just such a badly rigged state that so many people have dropped out, you know, thrown up their hands because the districts are so rigged that you go to vote for, you know, one candidate or the other, and it's predetermined before the first ballot's cast. So many people just have just thrown up their hands and dropped out, which is why on the outside it looks like Ohio is such a red state when really it's not. It is still that purple state where ideas still matter, but because it's so badly rigged, because it's so badly gerrymandered, because you've got them, you know, the state legislature, you know, breaking the law numerous times, it appears from the outside to be a red state. Do you buy into that?
I do and I don't. I do because, of course, you're referring to how they did the maps where the Supreme Court rejected them 5 times. And they still pushed it through. And now that they have a Supreme Court, or a state Supreme Court, where they're probably going to get a rubber stamp to do it, the citizens passed an anti-gerrymandering thing, and it's going to be completely ignored. Now, I say it's not, though, because just what happened this past election, they gerrymandered it to have, like, to give the Democrats, like, 3-ish seats and Republicans to pick up 12. Democrats picked up 5. They actually they flipped one of the seats, Steve Chapman's seat, and Tim Ryan's old seat, where they assumed it was just going to go full Republican. It's not. Amelia Sykes is going to be representing it. So it's something they had the chance to rig it, but that the sort of reaction to what was going to happen, all the crazy candidates, was so big that they said, whoa, hold on. Even if we're good at gerrymanders, we're not going to stand for this.
No, I mean, this is my argument. I mean, the argument is it's not as red as it appears to be, and as that they want us to believe that they have rigged it badly, especially on the state level. When you're talking about the state house and the state senate, how badly they've rigged those. I want voters, please go vote some of these bums out, take back some sanity, because that phrase, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. is, you know, Ohio is the example that is in the dictionary next to that. Because as we went through Ohio, the one thing that kept coming up is, congratulations, Ohio, you are the most corrupt state in the country.
Yeah, and no, absolutely the most corrupt. Like, the fact of the matter is that the top officials right now, and like a bunch of the top people, like, they were, the First Energy scandal was one of the biggest corruption scandals in the state's history, and not to mention the online charter school thing. And that did not matter at all. That did not matter to folks. Just because they have such a grip, that state Republican Party has such a grip on local politics.
No, it's crazy. And now the fun, the entertainment, because the election, and I always love how, you know, during up until an election happens, Republicans scare the hell out of voters. The recession's coming. There's crime everywhere. MS-13 is everywhere. You're going to be murdered at any minute if you vote for a Democrat. And then as soon as the election's over, then it's, everything else. And Ohio, perfect example. We're not talking about how to bring down gas prices, not talking about worrying about inflation or rebuilding infrastructure or creating jobs or doing any of the things that would, you know, be helpful. No, we're worrying about trans people. A handful of people who are trying to lead their best life. That's the focus of the Ohio General Assembly, which, again, I find sad, mean-spirited, ridiculous, but predictable.
Yeah, definitely. That's House Bill 454, which just yesterday they were debating. And for reference, that's a bill that would essentially heavily restrict how transgender teenagers get gender-affirming care, because even though there's a very small population, like maybe 1%, or 2% who regret transitioning, compared to the 98% who, you know, enjoy living their best life, as you said, they want to say, like, no, you're too young to know what you want. You got to wait at least 2 years, go through counseling for 2 years, and then hopefully wait until you're an adult. And of course, everyone that has a brain hates this. Amy Schneider, the winningest Jeopardy champion, the winningest female Jeopardy champion in show history, had to come down from California to fly into Ohio to go to her home state to tell people, yeah, this is a bad bill. And even then, like, it's so annoying because that the representative who sponsored it, Gary Click, he's such a jerk. He basically went...
Is that the defense? He's such a jerk.
Listen, the mother of a trans girl went up and talked about her experience, and apparently the mother and Click have talked before, and Click just straight out publicly says, like, oh, is your daughter mentally ill? Has she had her mental health checked? And she's like, I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you any of that personal information. And he's like, oh, well, I think your daughter will have been fine. She won't have affected my bill. So, of course she would have been affected by that bill.
So the question then should be, are you okay? Have you had your mental health check? Because what I'm told is conservatives believe, you know, get government out of my life, get government out of our lives, smaller, less intrusive government, right? Austin, this is what we're told. Yet here again, interjecting government into one of the most personal decisions of a family, of which I don't know anything about, and I'll be the first to say, I don't know anything about this, but what I have read is that this is a long process full of having to go through, you know, many professionals and counseling and all kinds of things. This isn't just drive through. Oh, hey, I had an idea today, and we're going to go through some drive through thing. The one thing that did catch my attention, and the reason that I've been so open minded about gender affirming care, is because the one person did tell me, look, you know, at the end of the day, if people don't get to be who they are at the end of the road, the majority of them, a large number of them, end up just killing themselves. And you go, why would you pursue policy where you know that statistically that's where it's going to end? That's the end of the road for a lot of these teens. And look, as a parent, you know, I don't know how I would react, but I do know one thing emphatically, without question, government should not be making this decision. And that's something conservatives should be on board with. Even crazy right-wing ones like in Ohio.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you said. Like, this is something that basically, if it passes, will essentially kill a bunch of transgender teenagers. But it's more the fact that that like they most likely don't care. They either want them to conform to whatever was going on, or they just don't want them around.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely disgusting. And these people just want to live their lives, and especially targeting teenagers, like trying to tell not it's not only just going into what's going on personally, you're trying to control teenagers.
Yeah. See, that's the thing that gets me. What has this got to do with them? I mean, this is the, you know, and I've talked about this a number of times recently, you know, where I worked, you know, 30 years ago, we dealt with the transgender issue, you know, years ago, 30 years ago in the workplace. You know, we had a guy, we'll call him Ron. That wasn't his name, but Ron went away. Ron came back, and Ron was Rana. Do you know who cared? Nobody. The union and the company worked together, figured out where Rana was going to go to the bathroom. That was the crux of it. But Rana came back, did the same job, made the same wages, had the same working conditions, went home, led her life. All the workers went home, led their lives. Nobody cared. We figured it out. It's because of people like these people in Ohio, these politicians, who have made this kind of insanity where we're not solving real problems. We're creating divisions. And it's done on purpose. It's done to keep us pitted against each other so they can continue to rob us blind and screw things up so that they're never held accountable. And this is the stuff that just ticks me off to no end, because sadly, we're dumb enough to keep falling for this insanity. Shame on you, people of Ohio. Shame on my former state. You listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Austin Linfante. Austin's a multimedia editor and reporter over at Heartland Signal. HeartlandSignal.com, their website, if you want to take a look at the incredible work that they do there. Let's go over to Wisconsin, because I'm going to lose my mind in Ohio. Although Wisconsin had a great week there on our Working Class Heroes radio tour. Sad to see Mandela Barnes did not win. But look, the ads they ran, scary black man. That's why Ron Johnson won, in my view. But he's not happy. He's happy. He's a sore winner, huh?
Yeah, definitely. And after running a campaign of just accepting all these millions of dollars from billionaires and just kind of like, having those sort of campaign ads, he's basically been a sore winner. So on his first election night, he's basically going now accepting victory. They don't call it for another 12 hours. He could just let them go to bed, but it's like, no, I'm going to call it now. I have people here. And he's basically going up there and saying, wow, it kind of sucks that it's close anyway. I want truth to prevail. Keep in mind, this is one of the biggest liars in the Senate. It's like, wow, I want truth to prevail. And he's whining that it's close. He lives in Wisconsin. It's one of the most purple states of all time. This was always going to be close. And now, in one of his first Senate committee hearings today, he was the FBI director, Christopher Wray, was testifying. Rather than asking him literally anything about national security, he's basically like, hey, why did the FBI interview me and Chuck Grassley about whether I'm a Russian asset or not? That was actual election interference. You tried to interfere with my election. So he's basically saying he could have asked him anything.
So the response to that was, Ron, why were you in Russia on the 4th of July?
Yeah, definitely. Not to mention that. And like everything that's happened since Trump took office and how Trump has dealt with Ukraine. And it's like, really?
No, I mean, that's like, the question. Why were you in Russia on the 4th of July? Now, what symbolism does that send? Why were you in Russia on the 4th of July?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like, oh, that didn't happen. There's pictures of you at that table with Senator John Kennedy and all that stuff. Yeah. There's really not that much to go on. It's like a one-to-one thing.
Sadly, Wisconsin, bad move here. Six years going to struggle with that guy again. Sad stuff. Finally, good on your state, your now state of Illinois. Very happy. One of the outside of Doug Mastriano being whipped badly, the other thing that I was very happy about, Illinois passed the workers' rights amendment, the workers' rights issue one there. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so Illinois, I believe, is now the fourth state to have this outside of New York, California, and I believe Missouri. It is the right to organize, basically the right to have collective bargaining in any sort of workplace that's around. So this RA had 58%, and it was kind of hovering around there. The AP called it on Tuesday. You might be wondering why. That's a weird thing to do. The way that it happens, it needed either 60% of the people voting on that issue or 50% of people voting there. So basically, it was hovering around there, and they didn't know what to do with it. But yeah, basically, this is something that the Illinois Democratic Party like rallied around. Like, yeah, this is us. This is something Illinois needs of all states. So,
yeah.
Very happy to see.
No. But here's the thing, and this is the weird part, and this is kind of what I've talked about before. All it says is the law that we have now is going to be the law.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, the one thing it takes it from like the Penal Code puts it from regular law, puts it in the Constitution. That's basically
it. Yeah, no, it's going to be the law. It's the law. Can't screw it up. Don't leave it. That's basically it. And good on Illinois. And again, I've been saying every other state. Now it's your turn to go and do this, because the crazy people on the other side have been trying to do their full hearty best to take workers' rights away. It's time that we start fighting to ensure that we get access to our rights. But Austin, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. You guys do amazing work there at Heartland Signal. I'm looking forward to the upcoming mayoral race and all of the work you're going to be doing around that. That should be fun and entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah, like 15 candidates so far. So it's going to be great.
You got your work cut out for you. Thanks so much, Austin. Good stuff.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Our good friend Austin Linfante. Make sure you check out the work that they do over at heartlandsignal.com. That is the website. Going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. Working people, come to talk. Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1947. That was the day the Screen Actors Guild voted to make all SAG members take an anti-communist loyalty oath. The late 1940s were the dawn of the U.S. Cold War with the Soviet Union. Anti-communist hysteria swept the nation. Hollywood became an early target of the communist witch hunt. Just a few days before the Screen Actors Guild vote, a group of screenwriters and directors, known as the Hollywood Ten, were called before the House Un-American Activities Committee. This group denounced the House Committee's trial. For that, they were sentenced to a year in jail and then blacklisted. The anti-communist backlash had a chilling effect on Hollywood. Many in the movie industry were progressives, and some had actually attended meetings and other activities held by the American Communist Party. However, few of these movie industry people had actually identified as communists. The Screen Actors Guild attempted to head off continued congressional investigation by requiring union members to take a loyalty oath. Ronald Reagan was president of the Screen Actors Guild at the time it decided to implement the oath. Those who were blacklisted saw their careers disintegrate. Many screenwriters wrote screenplays under assumed names. One notable movie, The Salt of the Earth, was made by people who had been blacklisted. The movie was a true story about a 1951 zinc worker strike in New Mexico. The Hollywood Reporter declared the movie was made, quote, under direct orders of the Kremlin. Blacklisted writer Dalton Trumbo finally was able to write a screenplay under his own name thanks to actor Kirk Douglas. Douglas supported Trumbo to write the screenplay for the acclaimed film Spartacus. He insisted Trumbo use his own name. Sadly, far too many were not so courageous during the Red Scare.
Are you tired of
Think Tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at therickSmithShow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, therickSmithShow.com. I get it, you know, the Workers' Rights Amendment in Illinois is one of those things that I keep telling my labor friends, you know, and have been saying for years, something that should have been done in my state of Pennsylvania years ago. I remember coming back from Wisconsin in 2011 after the uprising. Sleeping in the Capitol there with, you know, the 100,000 of my closest friends, protesting Scott Walker's Act 10. And I remember coming back to Pennsylvania going, you should probably be preparing for what's coming, because all of the infrastructure that was built in Wisconsin, all of the things that created Scott Walker and the billionaire money that was funding this is coming this way. This is going to be the start of the attack on labor, because it's really what that was. It was the attack on working people. He was the Trojan horse. He never ran on any of this stuff during the campaign. But boy, the second they got power, this is where they zeroed in. Same thing in Kentucky. They didn't run on making Kentucky a right-to-work state. But boy, first second they got, made head spin at how fast they did it. And I've been saying, you know, you need to make sure that these are solidly in place that can't be taken away. You know, the public sector, you know, stuff. You know, I have had friends over the years say that, look, you know, public sector union rights are executive orders. You know, they're there because of an executive order. We've got to make these law. And that's something that hasn't happened over decades, because the political will wasn't there. Who knows what the reason is. The vision wasn't there. The interest, the thought that, hey, you know, it can't happen. And that's the response I got from the person that I told, because I came back and I said, hey, you know, you've got to start preparing for this. We've got to start building infrastructure to prepare, you know, making it say, look, you know, what I do here on this little program is important. We've got to start the messaging and educating and explaining what's coming. The response I got is, well, that's Wisconsin. This is Pennsylvania. That's not going to happen here. And here we are years later. It's all here. And my mind is, you know, had you begun that process of doing what Illinois, and good on you for doing this, and I'm saying pick up the ball now, learn from what Illinois has done and move forward. If we pick this up and move it forward now, push on it. Do what and again, I'm not talking about, this isn't reinventing the wheel. I'm not Magellan here discovering new lands. I'm not reading into my crystal ball. I save that for special occasions. Just doing what the right has already done. You look at what the National Right to Work people have done. They've spent money in states that were solid union states, and they've done it for decades. And slowly over time, they've eroded the strength of unions in these states by constantly pushing. And this is what working people have to do. They have to constantly push and fight and defend what they have. Because this huge win in Illinois, and it is, it's an enormous win, is nothing more than what you already have. It's the law. All it's saying is that it's going to be the law tomorrow and the day after, that our children are going to have the same opportunities that we've had. That's all it says. And this is why it's so important. It's the same thing, you know, I've had women say the same thing about Roe. You know, why didn't we do that on Roe? And that's a good question. Is it, you know, we don't have visionary leaders? Is it that we don't think that the other side is serious? Is it when they say things, we don't believe them? Is it when they say they're going to destroy Social Security, we don't believe them? If they say we're going to let children starve on the side of the road, we don't believe them? If we say that we're going to repeal the Affordable Care Act and replace it with pay or die, we don't believe them? You know, is it that? I sure hope not. So for me, this win in Illinois, a big one. And the message across the country is pick up the mantle and run with it. Run! At least that's my thought. I want to hear yours. Email me, Rick, at thericksmithshow.com. If you've got any questions, comments, something on your mind, I want to hear it, especially the angry stuff that goes to the top. If you miss any portion of today's program or any of our programs, you can download the podcast wherever you find your favorite programs, or just go to thericksmithshow.com and get it there. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you back here next time.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.